believe already. My deep appreciation for being allowed to minister for a second year in a row to you, my fellow believers, Pennsylvania. These are very special, treasured moments at camp meeting, aren't they? Some of my fondest spiritual memories, quite frankly, go back to camp meetings, moments of high spiritual involvement and experience. We just not ought to ever take these moments for granted. And I tip my hat to your conference administration for having planned things in such a meaningful way, such a beautiful way, so that we could come together. In the book of John, the 14th chapter, Larry read for us these wonderful words: "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, well, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." Can't we all say amen to that? I tell you, that's just wonderful. I will come again. But if you think that part of the text is good, it gets warmer. For the next phrase says, "And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." I have read many, many portions of religious literature, the writings of Islam, the writings of Confucius, the writings of the founders of Shintoism and Taoism and Hinduism. And to my knowledge, I may stand to be corrected, even as I have read the readings of the Buddhist, to my knowledge, I don't know of any other religion whose founder or God or deity speaks with the warmth to his followers, to the believers of that particular faith, in quite this tremendously warming and effective and drawing and compelling way. "I go and prepare a place for you, Henry, so that, Henry, wherever I am," this thing is good to me, "wherever I am, I want you with me." Isn't that good, folk? Some of you are going to warm up after a while. This is good. This is wonderful. This is a God talking. This is not your next door neighbor. This is not your wife. This is not your father. This is not your best buddy. This is a God talking. Who could begin to exist tomorrow? Who could exist tomorrow without us? It wouldn't make any difference to his existence, to his power, to his character, to his majesty. But he says, I will not be satisfied until these lumps of clay in whom I have breathed my breath of life are where I am. Thank you, Jesus. That's wonderful. Hallelujah, sister. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. I go and prepare a place for you. There isn't a person in this world, there isn't a person, I insist, in this congregation who at least has grown old enough to be aware of themselves, who does not desire to belong, to fit, to be a part of something where their status is not up for question. In fact, a recent study in Atlanta, Georgia, indicated that for a group of high school seniors, acceptance or finding a place where they belonged was their prime need in life. It was the prime pathway to security and to inner peace. We can hear the call of the Master in the chill of the Garden of Eden. Where are you? We talked about that on Thursday night. Where are you, Adam and Eve? Where are you? Sin had cost man his place. And note the words of Jesus in that text. I go and prepare a place for you. Sin had cost man his place. And we have been looking for a place as a human race ever since. Sin placed man at odds with himself and with everything around him. Man had a place with God, but that was not sufficient for him. The shock for Adam and Eve was to discover that when you lose your place with God, you have no place. You have no place. And so Jesus, understanding what had happened to us, understanding what sin had done to us, declares, I go and prepare a place for you. Jesus does not waste his time. He would not do what is unnecessary. If we had a place, folk, if we had a place, Jesus wouldn't be somewhere preparing us a place. And so not only does the text imply that we've lost a place which we once had and therefore need a place, but there's also another key truth here. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. At first, all was perfect. Genesis 1 describes a God engrossed in making a world ideally suited for the human race. A world with light and air and plants and luminaries and birds and animals and so forth. The human family had a home. We had a place. When God put man and woman in the Garden of Beauty, they belonged there. Ellen White says that even the boughs of the trees would curl themselves so that Adam and Eve could sit down. That's a place. She implies that as they walked by the beautiful flowers, the faces of these unpolluted, perfect flowers would turn and follow the presence of Adam and Eve. That's a place. The temperature was just right. That's a place. There was no unsettlement of the atmosphere. That's a place. The angels sang for joy. Never was there to be a homeless person. Never was there to be a displaced child. Never was there to be a nomad. Then came sin. And with sin came disharmony. The disharmony that came was horrible. The lion could not lie down with the lamb. Disturbances came in the land and in the air. Even the beautiful plants that God had made for the pleasure of man became the enemies of man as thorns and thistles began to grow.
Winters came, and later, after the flood, uninhabitable regions appeared. The earth was left with two-thirds of its surface covered with water. Yes, literally, the earth was more a place for fish now than for man. But now something even more disastrous took place than Adam and Eve could have imagined. It was bad enough that man had lost his home and lost his relationship with the animals and lost an environment free of storms and physical upheaval. The worst was to come. Man lost his place with his fellow man. The men that sin entered into Eve, it separated her from her husband, the only other human being on the face of the planet. Quickly the disease spread. The book of Genesis speaks of the sons of God as opposed to the daughters of man. Next we read of the family of Noah at odds with the wicked, perverse antediluvians. When the record gets to Genesis 12, close biblical observance discerns a trend of an alarming dimension. What do we see? We begin to understand that those, listen to me church, those who are really trying to do right in this world are displaced persons. It is the word of God to Abraham that gives us our key. For he says, Abraham, get out from your family, get out from your home, and go to a place that I will show you. And I declare to you today that the moment you accepted God as your Savior, you became a displaced person in this sinful world. We don't belong here. Genesis 12 is so clear. Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house, Abraham, into a land that I will show thee. Abraham's experience is a type of the entire church. The righteous God, fearing Abraham, had no place in the idolatrous land of the Chaldeans. He had to go find a place. Now we see why we have this haunting testimony concerning Abraham in the book of Hebrews, who says there that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. And the motto declares, the theme for this camp meeting declares, Jesus is coming. But the thing I'm saying this morning, he's coming so Henry Wright can have a place. Oh, that's good news. That's good news. And so even to Abraham, the promise is clear. I go and prepare a place for you. You see, my fellow believers, once this world became a wicked and ungodly place, it was and is no place for God's people. The ancient Israelites found no permanent place in Egypt. They had no real place amongst the Canaanites. The 12 disciples did not understand this simple but life-changing truth. They kept on trying to fit in this present world. And yet Jesus, every time he got a chance, kept saying to them, my kingdom is not of this world. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I fear that the church today doesn't take God seriously. My kingdom is not of this world. Pile up the plush pile carpet, pile up the two-car garage, invest in the Volvo, buy the Mercedes, get the PhD, but my kingdom is not of this world. I don't belong here. Think about it. I wasn't created for a place with storms and disease and pestilence. I was created to be in a place where all is peace all the time. Come on and say amen out there. That's why I'm always rankled in this world. I'm a descendant of Adam and Eve. They were created for a world that was perfectly designed for them. And then the world got out of kilter with them because of sin. And no human being can ever be completely himself till he gets back to the kind of environment where he belongs, that we were created for. I remember the first time I grew up in the country. In the country, folk, it's quiet. At least it used to be. Is it still quiet in the country? Quiet. Little Germantown, Ohio, and I lived 2 miles outside of it. We had 2 stoplights. Quiet. No freeways. Quiet. Hardly any crime. Seldom a siren. Quiet. I could go out at night and look up and see the stars. Don't be so pious out there. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Country living.
In the evening, we would go to bed, folk. We would go to bed and not lock our doors. You try that now, you wake up in the morning, you'd be lucky to be sleeping on the same bed. Peace and quiet. And the Lord declares it. Tell me I can't go away from this today. The Lord declares. The Lord declares, Henry, I understand your needs. I made your grandparents, Adam and Eve. I know what you're really suited for, but this world has got sin in it, and I'm getting a place ready for you. Just hang on a little bit longer, and I'll come and get you and take you to a place. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Let not your heart be troubled, right? Ye believe in God? Put some faith in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. You see, folk, I've never had a mansion. I've never had a great big house. And that's not a big thing to me, but, you know, if God wants to get lavish for me, why complain? Why not enjoy it? He says, I'm going to fix you. I like the translation that we find in one Bible. He says, in my Father's house are many resting places. Resting places. And he says, if that wasn't true, I would have told you. I go now, Henry. I'll be back, but I go to prepare a place for you. I remember when I was getting ready to marry Carol, and I was pastoring down in Greenville, Mississippi, and they stuck me in a little parsonage next to the church, and the parsonage was sad, folk. It was sad. And I said to the conference president, I said, look, elder, I'm getting ready to get married. I'm bringing Carol all the way from California, Palacios, California, to Mississippi. And I said, elder, could we just find a few conference funds and fix up this house? All right, we'll do it. And they brought in the carpenters, and they fixed up the bedroom, and they fixed up the bathroom, and they fixed up the kitchen, and then the ladies of the church came in behind and swept and polished and hung up drapes and put down matching spreads and put all kinds of condiments up in the cupboard and cleaned out the stove and the oven. And then I sailed forth in my little car and went to California and married Carolyn and brought her back. And when I brought her to that house, her little eyes just lit up. She's got big green eyes. They lit up with joy and with tears. She recognized she had a place. God wants me to be happy when I finally get there. And every sign in the door of heaven, from the pearly gates to the golden streets, is going to say, welcome home, Henry, welcome home. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our society is absolutely a master, though, at hooking us into breaking our necks and spending our money, and sometimes compromising our good sense and good taste as well, and sometimes the very principles, as we try to find a place in this present world. You ever watch some of the commercials? You know you watch the commercials. They do a job on our psyche. I particularly like the Oil of Olay commercials. Now, ladies, this thing tickles me. They'll take one of those models whose skin has never had a blemish on it since she was born. And they'll work on her for 8 hours. Put her on the screen and tell you that if you put some dabs of that gunk in your wrinkles, you're going to look like that sister on the screen. And we go buy it. We go buy it, trying to fit, trying to find a place. Being smooth and young and pretty is in, and some of us are insecure and unsure and unsettled about that, and so we break our necks and spend and buy and bind and tie up what has gotten loose forever, trying to fit in shoes that don't fit, in dresses that don't fit. Come on and say amen out there. They work on us. And then us brethren, oh, they don't leave us alone. They'll put Jack Nicklaus, you know, on the screen, and he takes out one of these green cards.
Or he'll take out one of those MasterCharge or Visa and talk about how having this card, if you have this card, you can go anywhere, do it 18% interest a year, brother. You can't even pay for the privilege of trying to belong. You know I'm telling the truth. But they'll psych you into believing that you really can't walk the face of the earth. And then, you know, it really gets to your mind. I mean, even when I travel, I feel more secure if I got this green card. Brother, the Lord's not with you. You in bad shape anyhow. I don't care how many cards you carry. But they psych us into believing that if we have the card or put this on or wear a certain brand, our poor young people, our poor young folk, they do a job on them seriously. I mean, when I was coming along, we called them overalls. Come on now. Now they call them Jordache. And you find young folk going in the store to buy overalls and gym shoes. But if it doesn't say Air Jordan. When I was coming along, we bought gym shoes for $3. Now, for $103, you can be Air Jordan. And we'll break our necks trying to belong. Are you listening to me, church? Some of us don't feel we belong until we live in a certain neighborhood. And they psych us out there, too, you know. Where they build the $300,000 houses, you know, that's always upper something. Yeah, upper so-and-so, and so-and-so estates. And we can't wait till we live in upper so-and-so or so-and-so estates. And we actually feel better about ourselves because we live there. And let me give you some good news this morning. The Lord gonna burn all that stuff up. And just in case you think it's yours, you don't pay your taxes next year, and you find out who that upper house belongs to. God says, don't worry about it, Henry. You may never live in upper, but I'm going to take you up, 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 and find you a place where nobody can move you out. I'm a poor preacher, and I've always wanted to, you know, own a certain kind of car. And I've been trying to figure and finagle a way, you know, to get me a Mercedes. And every year I think I'm ready. You know, the things go up every year, you know. See, Satan just keeps you on a hook. Every year they go up. So finally, in desperation, three, four, 4 years ago, I went out and bought me one of these Pontiac STEs. And it, you know, it's got a computer in it and tells you when to change the tires and when to fill up with gas and when your lights are not working, so forth and so on. And it gave me a little peace of mind. Now I had something that was a little bit special. Now it's got 135,000 miles on it. The power antenna doesn't work. Air conditioning's got to be fixed. Radio has gone out. See what I'm saying, folk? The Lord says, Henry, just relax. Just relax. I'm preparing a place for you. Don't get psyched out by this world that puts pressure on people to do foolish things to belong. Some of you sitting in this audience this morning, some of the worst things you've ever done in your life, you did in moments when you were trying to fit. Trying to fit with the crowd, trying to fit with friends, trying to fit with neighbors, trying to fit with others, and you did things that down in your heart you knew weren't right, but you wanted to be accepted. God says, Henry, I'm going to relieve you of that pressure. Now when I drive up to the stoplight and somebody drives up beside me in a Mercedes 450, I say to myself real quiet, the Lord going to burn your Mercedes. He's going to burn my FCE. I'm not worried about it. We come to this world. We come into this world trying to find a place from the time that we are conceived and developed in our mother's womb. Before us lies a frightening prospect. Somehow, we must make it in this inclement world, this inclement place. Some would agree, with great fervor and with strong evidence, that our best days are in the womb. Our bread and water at least are sure there. The temperature is just right. We are cushioned and cradled. Even the diet is just right. But then suddenly, even from the womb, we are thrust forward, Staring at us are white mask and unmoving eyes. All too quickly, the little infant is forced to adjust to new sounds and sights and smells and senses. Eye drops are forced into his little eyes, not yet ready to focus. And then, oh my Lord, whack! And the shocked little lungs must send forth their protest against society's welcome, shivering, shaken, and fearful. The little one is washed and wrapped and then placed in a glass box behind a glass wall where masked faces appear and reappear. Some make strange utterances like Gucci, Gucci, Goo, and other nonsensical babblings. But the key is that this newborn baby must now find a place. And now it must fit with its mother. Hear me, church. And fit with its father. Now it must find a way to get along with its rival siblings. It must adjust to a new schedule. And before too long, it learns the words, no, 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 no to this, no, no to that. Kindergarten comes and cradle roll, and then early teens, and again, no, 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 no. And then college and a job and a wife. And she says, no, 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 no. Where do we ever find the place to fit? Do you hear what Jesus is saying to you? He's saying, I understand what you've been through, but I am preparing a place for you. Can't the church say amen? Some of us do not do so well. Some of us have been misfits all of our life. And I say that, folk, in no sense in a comical way. There are sad people in this congregation today who just have never felt that they've been accepted and belong. They bear hurt feelings of insecurity and pain. Their dress, their looks, their speech, their education, their money or lack of it. And some of you, when you came into this church and separated yourself from the rest of your family, there are those of you sitting here this morning who ache inside. They wouldn't come to camp meeting with you. They won't visit church with you. And when you go home, you don't fit. He turns on the Sabbath. He turns on the TV on the Sabbath purposely. The children do things purposely. They serve things you can't eat purposely. Jesus said, I understand. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. Jesus said, I understand my brothers and sisters never accepted my mission. I understand my mother and father didn't fully understand. I understand, he says, my disciples left me at the cross. Don't you worry, he says. Your home may be a hell for you, but I go. I go. And I will come again. And I will take you where I am. I'm preparing a place for you. We just don't fit, some of us. And we've done some shameful, horrible, stupid, and embarrassing things in order to find acceptance with peers and friends and family and co-workers. And still, ultimately, we have been unfulfilled. But ladies and gentlemen, don't make the mistake that Lot made. You see, remember, when God said to Abraham, look, Abraham, you don't fit. I'm going to take you to a place. His nephew Lot went with him. But as the journey got long and weary and challenging and exasperating, Lot began to compare himself with the people of the plains and the people of the Canaanites, and it became disconcerting to him that his family, his ways, his beliefs were so different. Lot didn't fit. And the Bible makes the awful statement that he pitched his tent toward Sodom. Listen to me, fathers. Listen to me, family leaders. He pitched his tent toward Sodom. 20
years later, he would have never imagined 20 years later, his decision to try to fit and belong cost him the morality of his own family, and his own daughters slept with him and produced children because Lot tried to fit, tried to find a place in a sinful world. When you brought that VCR, did you pitch your tent toward Sodom? When you stopped monitoring what your children watch on that screen, did you pitch your tent toward Sodom? When you decided on your own that you couldn't afford, irregardless of what God said, you couldn't afford to put your children in church school, did you pitch your tent toward Sodom? When you decided on your own, regardless of what God says, that you would put your tithe where you see fit rather than in a storehouse where he said put it, did you pitch your tent toward Sodom? Oh, brothers and sisters, my heart aches for us today. I understand the pressures we're under. But 2 Peter 2, verses 6 through 9 reads the record clear. It says that when Lot got to Sodom, his righteous soul was vexed. He didn't fit. He didn't pay. Oh, Lot. Oh, my poor Lot. I go and prepare a place for you. As you seek to live righteously in an unrighteous world, as the ghetto child seeks to avoid drugs in a drug-filled environment, as the former smoker seeks to give up his cigarettes in a smoke-filled office, as the clean-minded believer seeks to avoid foul language at a neighborhood gathering, as the determined parent seeks to rear children in a society where the TV commercials, in some cases, and even the billboards on the highways reach out to stain the consciousness of their little minds, Jesus declares, just hold on, my child. Walk together, children. Don't get weary like Lot. I go and prepare a place for you. What kind of place? No pain. No crying. No sickness. No sorrow. No death. No utility bills. No taxes. Come on and say amen, folk. No broken down cars. No earthquakes. No hurricanes. No tornadoes. No more war. No more gossip. No more divorce. No deformity. No unclean meats. No vigilance either. I go and prepare a place for you. I can recall when I was living down in Mississippi, and my wife had finally come to join me down there. Now, some of you look at me and try to figure out what I am because of my light skin and nappy hair. My wife will really fool you. She doesn't really look black, but she is. And she looks so unblack that she's going to fuss at me for telling this. But when she went to go get her license in Mississippi, the highway patrolman couldn't figure out what she was. So I'm talking about finding a place now. I know what my subject is. And so she comes home. She didn't even notice. And they put on her license, white. And man, we're living in Mississippi in the 60s. I said, woman, you better go back downtown and get this straightened out. They'll kill me if they find me in a car with you. I lost my place with my wife. But Jesus says, no more ghettos. No more neighborhoods that are special. No more racism, no more sexism, no more provincialism, no more isolationalism, no more Kremlin, and no more White House either. Come on and say amen. No more Vatican City, and no more General Conference. I'll take that too. No more flies, no more gnats, no more roaches, no more bugs, no more, no more, no more. I got a place for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. No more jealousy. No more envy. No more sarcasm. No more anger. No more cliques in the church. Somebody ought to say amen. The lame will walk. The deaf will hear. The blind will see. The dumb will speak.
The short will grow tall. The fat will get slim. No liquor stores. No spittoons. No uneducated. No overeducated. No, 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 no. I've got a place for you. Can't you say thank you, Jesus, out there? He understands your battle. He understands your need. And he says, Henry, if you'll just hold on to me, I got a place for you. I got a place for you. I got a place for you. I was flying, as I so often do. And I sat down next to a fella. Now, I've gotten used to me over the years. I shave sometimes. So I've gotten used to the way I look. But like I told you the other evening, I do baffle people. And I was sitting there on the plane, being dignified and astute. Fella kept looking at me. Strange look, looking. Well, I'm used to people doing this, and usually after a while, I know they'll stop looking. They'll finally decide, well, he's black or he's something. But this guy, it got to him. He couldn't deal with it. And he went further than most folks usually go. And finally, he leaned over. He said, Mister, I don't want to offend you at all. He was so apologetic. He said, please. He said, really. He said, what are you? I tried to maintain control, but it really kind of got to me, and I can be kind of sharp-tongued at times. I'm a melancholic, and I can kind of cut loose, and so without really thinking, I shot back, Homo sapien, planet Earth, what are you? He said, well, look, please, I'm talking about a place, folk. I'm talking about a place for you. If you felt out of place, he's got one for you. If you felt you don't belong, he's got one for you. If you're not as pretty as the rest of the girls, young lady, he's got a place for you. He says, this corruption will put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. You're never going to look so good as you're going to look when sin is gone. He said, look, I can tell I've offended you. I didn't mean any harm. He said, you see, I can trace my family all the way back to the boat. I said, the boat? He said, yes, the Mayflower. My ancestors came on the Mayflower. He said, what do you black people do? I said, oh, don't worry about that, brother. I said, my folk came over on the boat. He said, they did? I said, yes, Noah's Ark. Jesus declares, Henry, I'm going to tear all that down. I'm going to fix it so it doesn't make any difference. Can't you say amen out there? I'm going to put everybody in one righteous realm where sin no longer has any place. And Henry, though it gets rough, just know I'm up there fixing it, designing it, preparing it, shaping it. When you move in, everything is going to be just right. Folks, can we hang on for Jesus? I'm coming, he says. Don't get weary, he appeals. I got a place for you. The Savior is waiting. Into your heart. So he can take you to that place. Why don't you let him come in?
The Savior is waiting. Enter your heart. Why don't you let him come in? There's nothing in this world to keep you apart. What is your answer to him? Waiting again to see if you're willing.
I think that for me, unless a doctrine, folk, becomes personal, it's just words to me. If I have sounded selfish in this sermon, it's because the second coming of Jesus has no meaning unless he's coming back for me. And you ought to feel the same way. He's coming. And I don't care how secure and safe you feel in this present world, this is not your place. Once sin messed up this world, folk, righteous folk lost their place. He says, I'll fix it. Maybe some of you have never bought into that promise. Some of you have. God bless you for that. But maybe some of you haven't. You've never really looked at that simple promise. Hey, I'm coming to get you. I want you where I am. And so you've never said yes to this Savior. You never have. Or maybe like Lot, you started on the journey and got discouraged. Lost your sense of direction. But today, through his grace and his power today, you can find a place with him. And so my appeal is unapologetic. Unashamedly and with boldness and confidence, I say to that person today who needs to accept him or who once walked with him and then failed to keep on walking, he's got a place for you. I'm not making an appeal for general consecration. I want decisions for Christ. People who are saying, I've heard you, Elder Wright, understand what you're saying, and I accept it. And so while most of us are praying in our hearts, Sister Gloria is going to sing another verse for us. If you want to find that place today with Jesus, you know you need to find it. While this audience prays for you, just get up from where you are and come. Gloria, sing for us, and I'll wait for you to come.
If you'll take one step towards the Savior, my friend,
on,
you'll find his arms open wide.
You can
receive him, and all of your darkness will end. Within your heart, he'll abide.
Come on, my friend. Come on. You may be way in the back. You can do it. Today, you can do it. You can rise up in the strength of the Holy Spirit and walk down this aisle. It'll be the most beautiful walk in your life. Say, Lord, here I am. God bless you. God feed those tears. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Just come. I could have had everybody stand first, but come on. Today, let's do it special for Jesus. Rise up from the sea of people and say, Lord, it's you and me now. It's like nobody else exists, just you and me. Come to him. Come to him. Others are coming. God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God bless you. Others are coming. Folk, you should be praying. I know it's a joy to watch them come, but just bow your head for a moment and just pray. Lord, please. You may be sitting beside someone that you wish would come. Send their name and their face toward heaven right now. Pray that they will accept the place Jesus has for them. Oh, God bless you, dear ones, for coming. These fine young people coming, God bless you. Can't you say amen, folk? These folk are finding a place today. A place with Christ, God bless you. A place with Christ, God bless you. God bless you. Just spread out right beside this, dear brother. Just come. Just come. I believe that first stanza again will help them, Gloria. Many are praying and many are coming.
Savior is waiting to enter
just
think, your heart.
Waiting till this day, this moment, you and Jesus, God bless you.
Why don't you let him
come? Oh, this takes courage. God bless you. These fine young people, God bless you. This takes courage. This thrills my heart. This is wonderful.
To keep you
some souls will be baptized today. Others will have further preparation, but this is wonderful.
What is your answer?
Folks finding a place to be.
Time.
Time after time.
Time after time.
Camp meeting after camp meeting. Week of prayer after week of prayer. He's waited for you to make your decision. Why must he beg today?
Now he is waiting again.
What he's doing is, God bless you, my brother. God bless you. God
bless you. To see if you're willing.
Open the door.
To open the door.
Oh, God bless you, dear lady. God sees your tears as you come, holding the hands of your children. God bless you. This is wonderful. This is wonderful. The angels are rejoicing today. God bless you.
Oh, how he wants you to come.
Are there others who'll come?
Oh, how he wants to come in.
I'm going to pray for these precious souls now who've come. And believe you me, folk, all of us today together, in a sense, have recommitted ourselves to that place, haven't we? We don't have long to wait, folk. It's going to be wonderful. We're going to go in through 12 different gates. Crystal stream from the throne of God. We'll be able to go anywhere we want to go. No lines. No fees. The universe will be ours. Got a place for you. Be faithful. Be faithful. Be faithful. Even while I'm praying, somebody else can come. Father, we are so thankful you today. It's unfortunate that you have to try to get your word through such pitiful material like Henry Wright. You really don't have much to work with here, but you're merciful and kind, and I hope that somehow I did not get in the way of your word. And if I did that for anybody, Lord, please forgive me and still speak to their hearts. Here we are at this camp meeting. It's been a wonderful camp meeting. Everything about it suggests that. There's been a good spirit. There's been good presentations. There's been good fellowship. Old bonds have been retired. And now, Lord, on this closing Sabbath morning, all of our hearts lift to you in thanksgiving that you've not forgotten your children and you've got a place for each one of us. These precious ones who've come now have made a special step toward thee. Some may have come just for special recommitment or reconsecration. Others have made more definitive decisions. Look at all of them. Write them carefully, please, Father, in your book of life. And then strengthen them to live the commitment they have made today. And may we who sit in this congregation, some of us knowing these individuals, may our prayer be, Lord, let nothing in me stand in their way of finding their place with you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.